he didn't want to mix saying a few good things with other bad things. We don't know all the details here, but he does say, my sorrow grew worse. It was like, here he is, feeling the reproof of God against his sin, and so he decides to be quiet in the presence of wicked people, and then when he tries that, it didn't get better, it got worse. He even says his heart was hot within him, verse 3. While I was musing, the fire burned. He's just talking about this need to do something. It's like a fire's building inside of him, and it just has to come out somehow. He feels like it's going to explode, and so finally he does. He finally just says, I got to say something, so he did. But thankfully, he spoke first to God, not to men. Verse 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. And what did he say? Verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days, and let me know how transient I am. Transient means short-lived. Lord, make me know my end, and what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, Selah. You would think that when David started talking to God after trying to navigate how to deal with wicked men, he would talk to God about the wicked men, but he doesn't do that, not in this psalm. He talks to God about his own need. And what does he say in verse 4? Lord, make me know my end. Make me know the extent of my days. Let me know how transient, how short-lived my life is. Isn't that an interesting prayer? And then he says, verse 5, behold, you've made my days as handbreadths. A handbreadth was one of the smallest unit of measure. Some historians tell us that it was, at this point, about the smallest unit of measure. A handbreadth was the distance between, you put your fingers together as tight as they can go. It's a distance between the top of your index finger and the bottom of your pinky. It was a distance of about 3 or 4 inches. Sometimes the Bible talks about the word span. The span was your hand fully extended. It was the distance between the tip of your small finger and the tip of your thumb, about 9, 9.5 inches. But David didn't use the word span here. He wants to use a small unit of measure. He's talking about just a small distance, and he's saying, that's the word I want to describe how short my life is. It's short. It's brief. It goes so quickly. As a matter of fact, in verse 5, he says, my whole life is nothing in your sight. That doesn't mean he's saying my life is insignificant. He's talking about time. He's not talking about influence. He's talking about time. He's saying it goes so quickly. And those of you who are my age or a little bit older, you can look back and you agree with that, don't you? Time goes so quickly. I remember when I was in high school, hearing adults say, man, the older you get, the faster time goes. And you know what I'm saying now? Some 40 years, 50 years later, the older I get, the faster time goes. It's just how it is. Life is very brief. In verse 5, he says, surely every man at his best is a mere breath. The word breath there means vapor. It's like a mist. One seminary professor said the definition of this word breath or vapor is what you have after you pop a soap bubble. That's kind of the idea here. That's how quickly life goes. It's like a beep, and it's gone. And it's very fascinating to me that after that, David uses the word Selah. Now, the word Selah is used 71 times in the book of Psalms. And we don't even know for sure exactly what it means. But we think it means it's time to think about that and pause and reflect on what has just been said. The Psalms were written to be sung. They were all music, put to music. Some have said, well, this is a time where an interlude would be played and it would give everyone who had been worshiping time to just think about what they'd just sung. So I'd like you to think about that. Surely every man at his best is a mere vapor. I'd like us to respond to the Selah by just taking a few moments. I would like each of us in this room to just take a moment and think about that. Think about how short life really is. Now, having taken a moment to think about that, let me ask you, does that truth, should it impact the way you live? If life is that brief, should it impact the way you use your words, what you say to people? Should it impact the reality that you need to be careful about not sinning with your words? David was really concerned about that. It should. To sin with our tongue is to make very poor use of the limited time God has given us. To sin with our tongue means we've kind of forgotten that there's a coming day that we will stand before God and give an account of every word that we speak. These things really matter. And so often when we have an opportunity to speak, we speak much too quickly instead of pausing and thinking and talking to God first. And saying to God, God, remind me of how brief my life is. Remind me of the things that really matter. If we do that, it can make a difference. Verse 6, he goes on, surely every man walks about as a phantom or as an image. Some have translated it shadow. It's like not the real thing, just kind of an imitation. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. It's a pretty descriptive term. It's kind of like a summary of the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon is trying to describe life apart from God. And he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And here David is describing a person who's really busy just making an uproar for nothing. And making all this money and not even knowing who's going to get it when they leave the earth. He just talked about the fact that life is short, and now he's saying that life can be very shallow, especially apart from God. And so now he continues. He knew that in this desire to not sin with his tongue, he had to keep turning to the Lord. And so he says that in verse 7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me because of the opposition of your hand. I am perishing. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Selah. David had made this commitment. I'm going to be silent before wicked men. That's the best thing to do as it relates to my tongue. But now he realizes there was also appropriate to be at times silent before God because of what he had done. There is wisdom in being silent in those situations. Being silent before God, to just be silent before his justice and his holiness and his ways. And yet he knew it was important to have a right relationship with God, and so he goes back to speaking to him. He says in verse 12, or verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. In verse 10, remove your plague from me, because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. And then at the end of verse 11, we read those familiar words. Let's read verse 11 again. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Selah. So I'm going to ask you just to pause and do that again. I'm just going to ask you to think about what we've just read. We need to have a right relationship with God, even talking to Him about our sin, because life is very short. And then David concludes with the last two verses. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, just like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Again, David knew his time was very short, and he wanted God to turn his eyes of rebuke away from him, because he wanted to live with joy. He wanted to smile again. He wanted life to look differently. And so in repentance, he cries out to God and he says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. You know, he'd been talking in this psalm about there was a time for him to be silent in response to men, for him to be silent in response to God. But now he's saying to God, God, please don't be silent in response to me. I've got to hear from you. And he says, for I am a stranger, not to you, but with you. He realized he was still in union with God and that he was walking on this earth as a stranger, and yet he was with God. He longed for that intimate relationship to continue. And he says, I'm a sojourner just like our fathers, just like all my fathers. A sojourner is what? A temporary resident. I was reminded of that old spiritual that sometimes used to be sung. The earth is not my home, I'm only passing through. If heaven weren't my home, then Lord, what would I do? We are just sojourners. Our time on this earth sometimes seems quite long, but in the scheme, the big scheme of things, it is so short. You know, I'm convinced that this week you're going to be tempted to sin with your tongue, and so am I. And my question is this: when you're tempted to sin with your tongue, how are you going to respond? You just going to respond by saying the first thing that comes to your mind? David's instruction and reminder here is that's a very poor practice. The best way to not sin with our tongue is to speak to God first and to ask Him, to pause in the midst of wanting to respond and say, God, remind me of how brief my life really is. Remind me of the things that really matter. And I'm convinced if we do that, what comes out of our mouth will be so much different. That's David's strong point. And I think as Christians, we really need to hear this. I may be starting to meddle just a little bit here, but I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but I've spent a little bit of time on it, and I've read a lot about what's going on, and what's going on social media with the writings of some Christians is pretty troubling. Some Christians comment on political issues and religious issues, and sometimes what Christians are writing is just plain old brutal. It comes across as very, very angry and very unthoughtful. And I don't think it helps the cause of Christ or the cause of truth if that's how we're coming across. So I think that's an important area to think about, and that's one way that we use our words, is what are we saying on social media? The Bible is certainly committed to truth. We need to be committed to truth, but the Bible talks about this important balance of speaking the truth in love. And there has to be a proper balance. And sometimes I think the best thing that we could do if we have a comment to make on social media is not just to make the comment, but to pause, press pause, and say to God, God, would you remind me of how brief this life really is? Would you remind me of the things that really matter so that what I say, the way I use my words, honors you? And I wish I could say that that application is for those who comment a lot on social media only, but it's not. This application includes me. And Friday, I blew it. I was preparing this sermon on Friday morning. Betty was home. We had a short discussion, and I heard something she said, and I came back with a response because I thought I knew what she was saying, and I thought I needed to correct her. And that didn't go well. And I was out of line, and when I said what I said, I hurt her. And she had to tell me that I had hurt her. And I kind of don't like to hear that I'm wrong. So I had to step away for a while, but I had to come back to her and I said, honey, I am so wrong. I'm so sorry that I did that. I should have never said that. Would you forgive me? I totally misunderstood what you're trying to say. And I said to her, here I am preparing a sermon on how to not sin with your tongue. And what do? I sin with my tongue against the one I love more than anyone in this world. Do you understand the struggle? We're in this thing together, people. This tongue thing, none of us are immune. It's tough. And we so easily sin with our tongue, but there's a better way. What would have happened when I had those comments that I thought I really needed to tell my wife? What would have happened if I would have pressed pause, if I would have just been silent for a while, and I would have stopped and prayed to God and said, God, would you just remind me of how brief my life is? Would you remind me of the things that really matter? I can guarantee you what I said to my wife would have come out so much differently. And maybe you need to be reminded of that today. Maybe in the recent past or more distant past, you know that you have sinned with your tongue. I just want to encourage you, if you have done that, to go to whoever you sinned with your tongue against and just admit that. Admit your sin and say you were wrong and ask their forgiveness. It's amazing how that kind of thing can bring restoration. I just want you to know, Betty and I still really love each other. We're getting along great today because I've been applying my sermon better. But this is really where life intersects with Scripture in a powerful way, isn't it? Let's don't speak to people first. Let's speak to God first. And let's ask Him to give us the perspective of the things that really matter, and to be reminded of how short this life is, and to be reminded that one day we will stand in His presence as we're told in Scripture, and one day give an account of every word that we have spoken. That's sobering, and it changes what comes out of our mouth to the glory of God. And so let me encourage you to do that, because you may have some things to deal with in the past as it relates to your tongue, but I can almost guarantee you that everyone in this room will have the opportunity this week, maybe even today, to sin with your tongue. And my question is, how are you going to respond to that temptation? You're just going to spit it all out? You're going to press pause and ask God to remind you of how short life really is, and to remind you of the things that really matter? I am convinced that God will answer that kind of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, our hope is in You, just as David declared. Help us to live and speak like we really believe that. In Jesus' name, amen.